Fast Talking Tuesday.
What's going on with America?
Because everyone knows it's ridiculous.
You got game? Game.
It's a mess.
Here we go. What do you want to start with?
Brought to you by Florence Recycling.
It's time to clean it up.
Satisfaction guaranteed or double your trash back.
This is Trash Talking Tuesday.
News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. It is 8:07. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. Well, the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Thanks for following along. We appreciate it. Real quick, I want to give you the keyword, fall. Text fall to 20357, and you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Grand Tasting Saturday at the World Equestrian Center. They're hosting Ocala Food and Wine Festival. Date and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. That's fall, F-A-L-L. Text it to 20357. Welcoming right now our Second Amendment advocate, Gun Owners of America Representative Louis Valdez. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. It is a pleasure to be on the air, and it's going to be an exciting and interesting week.
Can you believe it? We're 7 days away, although we say 7 days, that's election day. But what do you think the odds are that we'll actually know by, midnight that night?
You know, I think for Florida especially, we will know before midnight.
Yeah, I think it'll be totally positive.
Yeah. Florida, I think Florida's going to go in our favor, and that there's not going to be any other issues. Now, in regards to some of the key swing states, you have states like Pennsylvania and Georgia and Arizona. You know, they're going back and forth. That's going to be the moneymaker. And it's interesting, as a Floridian, I remember growing up in Florida being a swing state. Now we're not. So it's weird seeing it from the other side.
One of the things that occurred, because I was following along, too, years ago, and there were a lot of Hispanics that were moving into Florida. Some were coming from Puerto Rico and other places, and they said, well, that's going to upset the balance, and it's going to looks like Florida might start leaning more Democrat. But a lot of these people were entrepreneurs, hardworking family people, and turns out a lot of them began to vote Republican. So that was the beginning of the end for their stronghold, the Democrats in the state of Florida, for sure.
Yeah, the Cuban, Puerto Rican, and Venezuelan populations and that have been moving here, they are staunchly conservative. These are all people that are tired of government authoritarianism in one form or another. With the Cubans and Venezuelans, it's communism. With the Puerto Ricans moving to the mainland, it's just democratic liberal policies on the island. They've all seen the wonders of government, and they all hate it. And as a Cuban myself, I can tell you this: we are staunchly conservative, we're staunchly pro liberty, and we're staunch gun owners. And the same goes for my wife, born and raised in Puerto Rico.
So I was watching a part of an interview with Shannon Sharp and Kamala Harris, and she actually said if Trump gets elected, he's going to dismantle the Constitution, and he's going to start with the First and Second Amendments. I couldn't believe it when the words came out of her mouth. What do you think would be a better protector of the Second Amendment, Trump or Harris?
Well, I can tell you this. It ain't going to be Kamala Harris. And back in 2005, 2006, she supported San Francisco's Proposition H, which was an outright ban of handguns in the city of San Francisco. And she did this while she was
district attorney.
The prosecutor or the attorney general. I forget what her position was, but she wielded political power already in California. And luckily that was struck down by the courts, but she's already outright supported absolute gun control. So we know where she stands on the Second Amendment. We know where she stands on the First Amendment. We know that when she was the Attorney General for California, she extended nonviolent marijuana sentences just so she could have the labor in the California prison firefighting program. For people that don't know, California has prisoners who become firefighters. And she literally extended their sentences to keep those people serving their time, who actually serve their time, in those firefighting units because, you know, as California goes, they don't actually manage anything properly and they just have wildfires. So she figured, hey, it's cheaper to have prisoners serve as firefighters.
Wow. That's crazy. I also want to touch on how important the down ballot is. I mean, people might be fed up with the direction of, you know, Biden-Harris, but still maybe they don't pay attention to the rest of the races, don't care. Some people I know, many cases, they have ballots that are empty other than the presidential thing. So, you know, let people know how important the down ballot is.
The down ballot is actually what's crucial right now. Yes, the presidency is of major importance, but the down ballot, especially controlling the Senate and Congress as a whole, is what makes or breaks us on a national level in terms of our gun rights. The Senate is who approves judicial appointments, not just for the Supreme Court, but for all federal courts. And that is where we are winning on the gun rights battle on the federal level. It is cases like the Bruin decision. It's cases like Heller. It's cases like McDonald. It's vitally important that we control the Senate so we could approve or deny the appointments. Because we saw that with Mitch McConnell when he was the Senate Majority Leader. He flat out blocked Obama's appointments. Merrick Garland, instead of being the Attorney General, could have been a Supreme Court justice.
I know.
God help us there. And it was a Republican-controlled Senate that blocked that appointment. And on top of that, it was a Republican-controlled Senate that approved Trump's picks and worked with Trump and the Federalist Society to get good judge candidates to be appointed in the first place. And that is of vital importance. So we need a Republican president to get those appointments submitted to the Senate. But more importantly, we need the Senate under Republican control to make sure that we get those appointments put into offices.
That I like the way that you explain that and how important those other offices are contributing overall at the federal level, when a lot of these things are going to make their way into court at some point. And we want to make sure we've got, you know, the conservative minded pro-gun folks there to come up with the, you know, the verdicts, et cetera. Do you think that Trump gets another term, that he is going to be a friend to gun owners?
You know, that's a very interesting question, and I think at this point right now, Trump has realized that he cannot win without gun owners' votes. He has seen what bending knee to the gun controller, to the gun grabbers do. We saw this back in 2018 when he supported red flag laws, when he pushed the bump stock ban via bypassing Congress, mind you, a Republican-controlled Congress. And he has learned very much that, yeah, no matter what, you know, like the old stories go, why'd you bite me? Why'd you sting me? Well, I'm a snake. I'm a scorpion. You know that this was coming. And he has now realized that no matter what, kowtowing to gun grabbers does not get him anything. And ultimately, he really hurt a base of the party. And to this day, I talk to gun owners, and gun owners are myths. They feel slighted by that. So gun owners have a long memory. I mean, going back all the way to Clinton, remember, that's how Republicans gained control of the House of Representatives after 40 years of Democratic control, was because gun owners were tired of Democrats screwing them over.
Well, a recent statistic, both, you know, evangelicals and gun owners, were a large percentage of them sit out elections. And I think it's critically important at this juncture to not sit it out. Make sure that you get out there and vote, right?
Very much so. Our founding fathers gave us the power to vote. And if we don't vote, we lose.
Right on. Louis Valdez, Gun Owners of America. Always appreciate the time, my friend. Stay safe.
Same here.
All right. It is 8:16. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we've got plenty to talk about coming up next on 97.3 The Sky. Ah, yes, here we are, another day in paradise. 7 days away from pandemonium.
Wow.
Yep.
What an optimist you are.
It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling, so, you know.
Oh, yeah. Talking trash.
Just hanging out, having fun. It's what we do. Thank you for joining us. It's 8:21. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Top stories. Democrats are disturbed and desperate I have many, many examples of that. Where do you begin and end? We'll get into it. Dodgers are up 3-0 in a World Series where, you know, four games wins it all. So game number four is tonight in New York against the Yanks. Can't believe it. Can't believe it that the Yanks are down 3-0. Hey, not against the Dodger team. I just thought...
Yeah, you think a little better tighter. Match than that. Yeah, I would have thought.
But, man, I mean, you had exciting games and close games and home runs and walk-off grand slams. I mean, got all the theatrics one would hope for. Podcast giant Joe Rogan. Yeah, you know he sat down with Trump, right? I think everybody knows that now. Well, apparently, you know, he was going to do a sit-down with Kamala Harris, and that had been discussed.
She was invited, yeah.
Yeah, but she didn't say no. Apparently, okay. as what he has shared is they wanted him to fly to her wherever she was, and they only wanted to do an hour. Yeah, he's like, I'd rather really do it in Austin in my studios here.
Yeah.
And I really want to do it for, you know, 2 or 3 hours like I do with a lot of people.
Right.
And so he's still waiting and hoping that it might occur.
Well, he's even said it's not like he wants to do an in-depth gotcha kind of thing. He goes, I don't really know that much about her. I would just want to get to know who she is.
And treat her as a human being.
Yes.
So when Rogan did sit down with Trump for a 3-hour conversation, already it's more than 36 million views on YouTube. I think it's probably much higher than that. This piece might be a little dated. Episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience are usually between 2 and 3 hours long. And for the record, he said the Harris campaign has not passed on doing the podcast. And in fact, it came up during the interview with Trump. And can you imagine Kamala doing the show? Trump asked. I could imagine her doing the show, Rogan said. She was supposed to do it. She might still do it, and I hope she does. She's not going to do it, Trump said. Well, I'll talk to her like a human being, says Rogan. If she did this kind of interview with you, I hope she does, because it would be a mess. She would be lying on the floor comatose.
Wow.
So apparently it is still up in the air. It is still a possibility.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, and it would be hard to turn down Rogan's numbers.
Oh my goodness.
Podcasting to begin with, he's number one.
He's
and
the
then when you have a get like Donald Trump and in long form, you know, and he's got a young audience. Well, he's got everybody, but he's got a young
pretty much,
audience.
Yeah.
And, I he's a difference maker.
And people go back and watch his stuff over and over and over.
Yeah,
he's the guy.
Yeah. And look, you sit down with him and you're going to do 3 hours and, you know, you have no qualms about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows that Trump believes in what he talks about and the vision for America. Kamala is playing a game. You know, she's playing a game of hide and seek, and she's playing a game of, you know, pop out, you know, like a little whack-a-mole, and just about somebody's going to corner her with a decent question, boom, she's gone.
Yeah.
And that's why she only wanted to do an hour with Rogan, because you start to dig in just a little bit, and she is going to run out of substance very, very quickly.
Substance?
Yes.
You think she has any? Or we'll scratch off the top, and then we'll have to get to where substance should be, and then she needs to bail.
Yeah. Yeah, she'll play the game, the dance. She'll run around the question, you know. So, you know, what do you think you should do about the economy? And then her answer will be, well, Trump's a fascist.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
But what about the question?
Yeah,
well, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
No. Well, we did an interview with him. We spent 3 hours with him. Mm-hmm. We covered a lot of ground. We want to give you an opportunity, right? Why don't you give you an opportunity in your own words to talk about, hey, what's the future of America? And then some specifics.
Right. What about specifics?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
okay.
Look, here's an
good
easy one. Here's an easy one.
Yeah.
Will you use executive powers to secure the border?
Now, that seems to you and I like a simple yes or no question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it would not be with her.
Donald Trump had people in cages.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it turns into.
Yeah.
Hey, a quick traffic update. We mentioned this a little bit earlier, but it is causing more of a problem. It's I-75 southbound Ocala approaching 27. Actually had a multi-vehicle crash there on the overpass, and so that ramp is backed up. If you are southbound and I-75 approaching 27, still a bit of a slow go.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Greg. Hey, more than this is a big state story. More than 40 illegals arrested for looting-related crimes in Pinellas County. The sheriff there not having any of it. He's not real happy. He arrested 45 individuals on 68 charges. This includes armed robbery, burglary, loitering, prowling, grand theft, vandalism, trespassing. Of the 45, 41 are illegal aliens coming from Mexico, wow. Cuba, Colombia, Honduras, Venezuela, and other countries. Yep, and looting. They're trying to get at some of the stuff that the terrible destruction of these of the awful hurricanes, you know, Helene and Milton. And it's hard. Hard for law enforcement. It's hard for everybody, but I mean, it really makes their job more difficult. And he said, yeah, they encountered like 200 other individuals. 141 were illegal.
So not bad enough that people are going through this stuff, and not bad enough that these people basically broke into our country, but now they want to really, like, victimize even more so American citizens going through this stuff?
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't think they care.
They don't care.
No. Hey, coming up at 9:05, we're going to talk to Dr. John Littell. He's our COVID expert, and, well, he's our guy. And we're going to speak to him at 9:05 specifically about Amendment 4 that's on the ballot. All right? So don't go anywhere. It is 8:28. I'll give you the code word coming up next on 97.3 The Sky. Oh, yeah, I was going to give a code word. Thanks, Greg.
I'm here for you.
Yeah, you are. It is 8:35. Good morning. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to Florence Recycling. The code word to win tickets to the spectacular Ocala Food and Wine Festival coming up this weekend, the World Equestrian Center. We've got tickets for the Saturday event. It goes on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. These are specifically for Saturday, the Grand Tasting event. You'll sample beer, wine, spirits, and then after you're drunk, the food will taste even better. And
this is why you don't do their marketing for them.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's also why they should never let me do, you know, live kinds of things like this.
Never.
But there will be celebrity chef demonstrations. You know, they do everything to the nines at WEC. So anyway, if you'd like a shot at those tickets, text FALL, F-A-L-L, FALL, to 20357, 20357, and you'll be in the running for the Grand Tasting Ticks. Data message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Ballot box burner. Got that story coming up.
Mm.
But first, a man wanted to get a beard transplant.
Wait a minute. A what?
A beard transplant. They were going to transplant hairs from his head and plant them in his face to hopefully grow a beard.
Well, I know they do. You can move plugs and stuff follicles. And,
yeah.
But a beard takes a lot.
Well, and you'd probably want someone doing it who, I don't know, maybe has some basic medical knowledge and skills.
I would hope so.
A Frenchman. Yeah. Went to Turkey.
Oh, see, you've already... Yeah, it's not looking good already.
Matthew Latour traveled to Istanbul in March for the transplant. Cost him 1,300 euros. A fifth of the price of having it done in France.
That's why he went to Turkey.
The transplant saw him lose 1,000 grafts of hair. While having 4,000 transferred from his head to his face. Following the operation, the business student's beard was left irregularly shaped, growing at an unnatural angle and leaving it hedgehog-like, according to his father.
Oh,
yeah.
Sad.
It was so sad that Mr. Latour, who was only 24, took his own life.
Oh.
I mean, this whole thing was botched from the beginning. He suffered burns after the procedure, was having trouble sleeping due to discomfort. he looks like a good, like a, you know, a good young man. I mean, he's smiling. He's, there's nothing wrong with his appearance. Otherwise, I don't know what his thing about having a beard was so important. I guess if he can't grow a thick, wow. You want whatever you can't have. People with straight hair, all they do is spend all their time curling it.
True.
And vice versa, right?
But that's a shame.
He later discovered that the man who performed his transplant was not, in fact, a qualified surgeon, but an estate agent.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. As a result of the botched operation, Mr. Latour fell into a vicious cycle, suffered from a dysmorphic disorder, and a Belgian specialist who was attempting to correct the procedure said his scalp would never recover in the patch where the grafts had been lost. He ended up taking his own life 3 months after going to Turkey for the transplant. Latour's father now is campaigning to improve awareness about the risks of seemingly inexpensive health tourism. And said it would be a tribute to Matthew if his son's shocking experience could help prevent similar tragedies from happening again. 24 years old.
I know.
But you feel like, you know.
I just have to have a beard.
So. Well, and okay, that's one thing. And you save the money for it. You go to do it. And then you run into, you know, problem after problem.
Yeah. This is why you don't go to a second or third world country to have things done. Yeah, you know, things may be more expensive where you are, but there's probably a reason for part of it.
If part of their medical apparatus is duct tape and a shop vac, that's probably not where you want to get surgery done. Just
make sure they're actually qualified. I mean, apparently this person was, what, an estate agent, whatever that means there? Yeah.
I think maybe that's a real estate agent, but they just call it estate because maybe they handle whole estate. I don't know.
But it wasn't beard transplants.
Well, it was transplanting from his scalp to his face.
No, I mean the person's specialty.
It had nothing to do with medicine whatsoever.
That would be maybe priority number one.
But, you know, they make up little fake documents and they seem legit. And some of the work he did was, it looked like it was effective, some of it. But, yeah, not good. So his dad's trying to make sure people know, man. You're going to travel to get some kind of surgical, you know, surgical procedure done. Sometimes it's worth paying the extra money, you know.
Or and then what a sad ending, you know. That's just, oh.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, 24 years old.
That's young.
Hundreds of ballots in Washington State were potentially damaged after authorities reported that a Vancouver Dropbox was burned in a Monday morning arson. Clark County Elections box located at the Fisher's Landing Transit Center was lit on fire. Hundreds of ballots were inside the box at the time of the fire, though it's not immediately clear how many had been damaged. Local TV affiliates said they were told there were likely only a few that could be saved. Investigators told the local station that the incident is believed to be connected to another Dropbox arson incident in Portland, Oregon. Because the last time the Clark County ballot box was emptied was on Saturday at 11 a.m., voters who dropped off their ballot after that time been instructed to contact the election auditor's office to get new ballots. It's heartbreaking. It's a direct attack on democracy. You know it shouldn't happen. Interfering with people's vote is un-American. Wow. All right. So, you know, a couple of different places where it happened fairly within the, you know, short period of time.
You know, kind of strange watching the officers. I forget which one I was watching, if it was the Washington or the Oregon. Literally, they've got it open, and they're, like, scraping these burning ashes and embers out, just trying to, you know, see what they've got to deal with there. So,
and did you say that one of them had a fire suppression type
there
of thing
was a,
to
yeah,
it?
There was a, it may have been a third one that actually had some suppression to it, that I think only one ballot actually burned or caught on fire. Yeah, which that's smart. If you're going to have, I'm kind of shocked, maybe. These are just kind of out there.
Yeah.
And accessible to put. It's like a mailbox. People have done stupid things to mailboxes over the years, put weird things in them or
make it
fire.
A Dropbox like the night deposit at a bank. You know, make it where it's a heavy duty and you close the door and.
Well, I just mean that anybody can put anything in it at any time unmonitored is my problem with
it. I see what you're saying.
Something as important as your ballot. I want someone, like, when you drive by and, you know, they take your ballot, they put it in, and I get the convenience, but in this society these days, this is why I don't really like that idea.
So the Dems will be busy printing more ballots.
Oh, I know.
Filling them out.
Got
to
replace all those.
Because they're very helpful.
Oh,
way.
They're great printers. They are.
So Donald Trump is Hitler. He's a fascist.
Oh, we've heard that, I think. Yeah.
Yet two-thirds of the Israeli people love him.
And most of them, if I'm not mistaken, would be Jewish.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
I'm reaching out.
Climbing
out there on that limb.
Yeah. Israelis would prefer to see American voters choose former President Donald Trump over VP Kamala Harris by a staggering margin of 66% to 17. That's pretty big.
It is big.
And this is a poll by Israel's left-leaning Channel 12. So maybe the numbers might be slightly bigger. Who knows? But the Times of Israel reported, just exactly what I just said. They also noted that the U.S. President Joe Biden was briefly favored by the Israeli public last year as he threw his full support behind Israel after the October 7th Hamas massacre. However, that good feeling appears to have evaporated.
Yeah.
Well, and you know why.
Yeah. That,
Biden started trying to tell Netanyahu how to conduct a war.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't think the people, let alone Netanyahu, took real, too kindly to that. Hey, we appreciate that. We'll let you know when we need some consulting help.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't overreact or anything. Thanks, Brandon. Yeah.
Come on, let's make it an awesome day. It's 8:45. It is a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. And we've got a lot more to talk about. We are also going to talk to our friend Dr. John about Amendment 4. That's coming up at 9:05. And don't forget, you can always get the Bob Rose Show on podcast, wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click on subscribe, and you got it. 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. Welcome. It's 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. Coming up at 9:05, we're going to talk to Dr. John about Amendment 4, get his take on it. Dr. John has been a great asset to us, starting with before COVID and right on through it, and we always appreciate his input. So we look forward to talking to him very, very soon. Let me give you the code word again in case you missed it. This is for tickets for the spectacular Ocala Food and Wine Festival, the Grand Tasting Saturday at the World Equestrian Center. It's going on all weekend. These tickets are for Saturday, though. Text FALL to 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to this Grand Tasting. That's FALL, F-A-L-L, to 20357. Data and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive, and good luck. Israel's Defense Ministry announced Monday it acquired a new laser beam system for downing projectiles.
Nice.
One that will not replace the Iron Dome, but will run alongside it. It'll be much cheaper to operate. It's called the Iron Beam.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
This is the noise it makes.
Does it really? Huh.
I don't know. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
It's got to have a sound to it. Something. Just like the Star Wars swords.
Yeah.
Right? Look at that. Iron Beam looks like something out of a science fiction movie, but it's real. It was actually developed by Israel's Rafael Advanced Defense Systems and Elbit Systems, with U.S. contractor Lockheed Martin joining in back in 2022. It'll be operational in the coming year. And so they have signed a landmark deal worth approximately $2 billion to expand serial production of Israel's first domestically developed laser interception system, the Iron Beam.
I like it.
It's a ground-based, high-power laser air defense system designed to counter aerial threats, including rockets, mortars, unmanned aerial vehicles, cruise missiles. Ministry of Defense said the unit leads the project with the primary developers, and the Iron Beam system represents a global technological breakthrough with its impressive interception capabilities demonstrated by a series of successful trials. So there
good.
You go.
Sounds good.
And maybe I wonder if there's something that could be utilized that would help with the hypersonic missiles that, you know, but
that we might be concerned about at some point as well.
Yeah.
China.
Hope not. Got to be ready.
Yes.
Got to be prepared. Bob's Burgers actor Jay Johnston. You remember that? Bob's Burgers? Mm-hmm. He voiced the role of Jimmy Pesto Sr. in the animated series Bob's Burgers. And he was sentenced up to 12. He was sentenced to 12 months federal prison, the January 6th thing. Yeah. He was trying to destroy democracy.
It was so close, according to Nancy Pelosi. We almost lost it that day.
We were within a cheeseburger of losing our democracy.
Or even that slice of cheese. And you know how thin that is these days.
Yeah,
you can see right through it.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be Swiss?
Ah.
The sentencing is part of the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris administration's ongoing prosecution of American citizens who were present during the 2021 riot. Many have already been sentenced and are serving jail time. More than 1,000 people had been arrested by the Biden-Harris DOJ in connection with the riot. Johnston's lawyer, Stanley Woodward, has argued that the federal government has persistently overstated Johnston's role in the attack because he's an acclaimed Hollywood actor and the government is using his status to make a point to the public. Federal prosecutors sought 18 months, but I guess they settled on 12. He also had a role in Arrested Development, was identified after the FBI tweeted a photo allegedly of him in the crowd of rioters at the Capitol and requested information on his identity.
Wow.
Oh, they went way out of their way. They went way out of their way. They sure did.
Hmm.
Court documents show images of an individual the DOJ claims to be Johnston captured by security cameras and other devices. But,
boy, it's amazing. I mean, some of the people were just there. I mean, they went after. It's like they weren't actually really doing anything destructive, but that didn't really seem to matter.
No.
So.
No. All right. What else we got going on? Yeah, we only have like a minute and a half. I wanted to get into this comparison between the actual real Hitler and who they call Hitler, Donald Trump. And I probably won't have time to get totally into it. But the comparison especially comes from, like, family and background as well.
Mm-hmm.
The little man with a mustache was raised by a demented father who beat his wife and to some extent his kids, even though he had a secure government job with retirement. After his parents died, he received a small inheritance from the estate, spent it on beer, and stayed in a flop house.
Oh, wow.
While trying to make money, he painted pictures of pretty buildings, tried to sell them, became angry when there was no interest. Later, he was arrested for a violent overthrow of the German Republic. While spending time in prison, he completed a book, Mein Kampf, which sold many copies and was translated to many languages. It detailed his struggle. In his dissatisfaction with society and the world outlined his vision for the future. After his rise to power, a clerk in the tax office noticed the Führer had not paid his income taxes for the money he made on the book.
Oh, no.
And they sent notice for payment.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, the clerk was contacted and corrected for his errant ways.
That was put nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as PV, permanent vacation.
Oh.
Yeah.
You
can take some time off now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. All right. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. Dr. John, we are going to speak to him in just a couple of minutes about Amendment 4 right here on 97.3. The Sky.